Yeah, God, we certainly do love you. And we do raise that hallelujah to you. Praise the Lord. And God, thank you for this opportunity to just center our attention by song and by praise to your glory, to your face, to your God being. We love you. And Jesus, we acknowledge that this morning and verbalize it, that we do love you. So thank you, God, for your goodness towards us. And thank you that you are always working in our lives and you're working by your Spirit, God, to refine us and change us into your image. So thank you for that. And thank you for being good, so good, God, to us. We thank you in Jesus, your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, just before I preach the word, we just want to pause and recognize and remember our missionaries that we support as a church family. You know, we haven't been able to gather as much as we'd like to over the last 8 months. And I can only imagine what it's like for our missionaries in other countries and what they've been facing. I just want to remind us all that we support 5 groups or families of missionaries. In a moment, we're going to put their slide up for you. And I just want to remind you that by the end of the year, we want to continue to give to missions. So if you can do that in the next month, just give a gift offering to the missions, to our missionaries, that'd be awesome. Just mark it missions when you put it online or however you're doing it. But, this morning, I'm going to pray for our missionaries, but we're going to take 1 minute. Their names are going to come up on your screen. And I'd like, if you're single, just pray. If you're alone today, just pray for them in this minute. But if you're in a group or a family, if one of you wants to be bold and just lead, a very short prayer together for our missionaries, or be in silence, that's fine. But just take a moment, 1 minute, and pray, and then I'll start to pray at the end of that minute and pull us back together. So let's take a moment and pray for our missionaries. Yeah, God, we thank you today that your work is still being accomplished across our globe. And God, we have been given the privilege of partnering with 5 families right now in a sense of giving financially and giving support to them to be able to pray and uphold them, God, which they desperately need. So God, we're asking you to continue to work in their lives, to provide for all their needs, and God, to continue to advance your kingdom for your glory and your honor through their lives, God. And I pray that this next season of life would be more profitable, more fruitful, God, than it's ever been in their areas of influence. So God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So thank you, God. And now we just look forward to your word. May it strengthen us. May it encourage us, God. And may it refine us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, continue to pray for our missionaries in the days ahead. I just want to remind you that we would love for you to just give a quick video Christmas greeting, 5 seconds, 10 seconds max, and just get it into us by Saturday, the 5th. We want to get these onto our Christmas Eve service at the end for outtakes. And so don't sort of miss the opportunity. We want to see lots of our faces up there. And that way we can connect with one another. And just a reminder that live streaming, is not as easy as getting together in the building. And, it'd be great when we're all together again one day. But live streaming is an opportunity for us still to connect with one another and know that across Prince George, we're all engaged together on Sunday morning. And I just want to thank those that behind the scenes are doing so much work to allow us this opportunity so that we actually can connect and continue to meet in such a fashion. So the Lord bless them. Well, I want to turn our attention to 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first five verses. Let me read it to you this morning, and if you have your digital or hard copy Bible, you can turn to it. It says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Boy, this is a sermon for Pastor Rich and for Pastor Tiffany. Because Paul is, you know, giving this charge to Timothy, this young pastor. But in the midst of all of it, there's a great thread of lessons for us all in our Christian living. You know, Paul reminds Timothy in verse 1 that he is really conducting himself, that his life is completely under the gaze and the look of God in Christ. You know, it's we can't go anywhere, we can't do anything and not know that God is observing and looking over our lives. And Paul reminds Timothy that it's not about the believers in the church as much. It's not about the opponents, the ones that are teaching heresy or falsehood. He says, we're not here to please men, but God. And so it's a reminder that in life and ministry, that our determination, our drive, our thrust is because we know that God is overseeing our lives and looking over our lives. As a pastor of this church family, I'm reminded this morning from this verse that God is looking over my life and over Pastor Tiffany's, and he's directing us by his Spirit, and it's him who we need to listen to and we need to be flowing with in the Spirit of God. You know, God is the one who will judge Timothy. That's really what Paul is saying. When it comes down to it, God is the one who judges. And every one of us will stand before and appear before the judgment seat of Christ, as 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So as we live our lives here on earth, and we live our faith out, we're always reminded that one day we'll appear before God, and God is going to reward us for being faithful to him. And it's a great reminder that before our lives, before our careers, before our families, before the things we do for entertainment, before our church attendance, before it all, that God gets first place, and we are aware of his presence in our life, and that out of his life and out of his flow of his Spirit in our lives comes all the things that we do. You know, there's a sense in all of this of love and fear in our accountability to God, because one day we will give account to God. You see, love in the sense that we are called to love God because God first loved us. Let that sink in. When you're in your mother's womb, God loved you. Before we could ever have loved God, God loved us. And also we are called in that relationship with God to love him with all our heart, our soul, and our might, all our strength. That's what we're called to do, to put all of ourselves into loving God. And how could we not? We sang some songs today of why we would want to love God. God gave us life. He gave us breath. But he also, when our sin, when we had fallen short, came to redeem us and save us and give us eternal hope. And not only that, but every day of our lives, he walks alongside of us. He comes with us and strengthens us and moves in our lives and helps us when we need help. And he works through our lives and he loves to do good things and great things through us to touch other people's lives. To call to love God and our accountability to him, but there's also a call of accountability to fearing God. You see, while we tend to regard fear mostly as a negative, we should remember that it's not always a negative. You see, fear is fright. It is being afraid, but it's being afraid of something of importance. You see, Psalm 19 says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, Proverbs 14 tells us. And it also tells us the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. And Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 10, 28 says this, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's a sobering thought. But we have to have a genuine fear of the Lord, because that fear reminds us that it's not just about this life right now. You see, our lives are eternal in faith. We are living eternity out today. It's not some magical day down the road when we die or God comes back and then all of a sudden we get into eternity. Eternity starts now in our faith. And we live that faith out in the fear of the Lord. There's a fright because we know that God is the one who will judge us. And we know that we have Christ in our lives, and it's Christ who will help us to stand before him without fear at that day. You know, Christ is certainly going to return, Paul reminds us and reminds Timothy. You know, this is actually in the church calendar, traditionally, the first Sunday of Advent. You go four Sundays prior to Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Eve, of course, is the culmination of Advent and the birth of Christ. And in this kind of Advent, you know, it's traditional, but it's important to remember that the word in Latin, Adventus, means coming or arrival. And in the Old Testament, they were, of course, waiting for a Messiah to come, the Savior. And Jesus was going to fulfill that calling in his life as being the Messiah from God, Emmanuel, God with us. And he would come, but of course, he wasn't always recognized in that fashion as the Messiah. In the Greek, in the New Testament, the word is parousia for Advent, and the term is used for the second coming of Christ. Thus, the season of Advent in the Christian calendar anticipates the coming of Christ, but really from different perspectives in three different ways. One is that the physical nativity in Bethlehem, in the manger, that God, the Son, the baby, came, the Messiah, the Savior, in physical form. The second one is the reception of Christ in every believer. So when you and I came to Christ, you know, there's that coming of God's Spirit into our lives. There's that arrival of God intersecting again with us in relationship. And of course, the third one is the second coming of Christ that is still in our future. And it's important that we live life in the context of Advent, that we live with the idea and knowledge and understanding that Christ will return. And Paul's trying to remind Timothy about this incredible fact of hope. You see, Christ's kingdom is what we and Timothy should be mindful of in our life. You see, a strong belief that history is going to culminate in Christ's appearance with the judgment and the final establishment of his kingdom cannot fail to make a profound impression on our lives and in the ministry of our lives for God's glory. It's the central thread and drive of our lives because we know and we fear the Lord and we love the Lord. And so therefore, our lives are centrally threaded around the kingdom of God and our faith. And we know that Jesus Christ will return for us. Isn't that amazing? You know, but it's so important in our minds to understand that there are principles in the kingdom of God that should drive our relationship in our lives. You know, he goes on here in these chapters to give Timothy a charge. And he says to him, preach the word. Preach the gospel. Preach the good news in an anchored sense, not with a false way or heresy, but be direct, be giving incredibly strong a word of the gospel and good news throughout his ministry. And to expound the scriptures, and really the preach the word has that connotation of him being a herald and proclaiming. And that's, I guess, what I'm called to do, and Pastor Tiffany, is we are called to preach the word. And that's why we do it on Sundays or other opportunities that we get. It's not something that we shouldn't do, but we know scripturally that we're called to do it. And to make sure that we all know the gospel, the good news, and that we can walk and understand the truth. He says, be ready in season and out of season. You see, not when it's just convenient or you know, not when it's just inconvenient, not when you're spiritually hungry and just only then, but and just not in the dry times, but all the time, be ready in season and out of season to preach the word. And the verb translated here really means be ready, be urgent, be instant. So what he's telling Timothy is be ready always to preach the gospel and to give the word of the gospel to others, to be urgent about it. But I love the part there, be instant. Because we should always be in that preparation in our lives to give an answer or give to the gospel to other people the good news. You know, we are all called to be in that position. We're all called to be ready in season and out of season. We're all called to be instantly available and urgent about giving people the good news of Jesus Christ. He goes on to tell him to, you know, do this in the light of reproving and rebuking and exhorting. You know, reprove really means to convince, you know, expose or convict. And the emphasis here is the idea of reasoning in order to convince the unbeliever of the truth of the gospel. But it also carries the connotation that all of us, even in faith as believers, that we need to be reproved. We need to be open up the gospel to understand it more fully, ongoingly. You know, it was last week when Pastor Tiffany was preaching from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and she quoted this scripture as part of her text, and it says, all scripture is inspired by God. God breathed is how it's interpreted in other translations. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You know, I was sitting in the sanctuary here with a few of us and listening to her preach, and she over and over said that phrase, God breathed. And that's why the Bible is so important, because it's God's way of giving us everything we need in this life to know Him and to live victoriously and to live with purpose and to be fruitful in our lives, so that we can be equipped for every good work that God wants to do and accomplish through our lives. And I was sitting there, and that phrase, God breathed, just grabbed me. And I was so inspired, because it reminded me that in my life, and when I walk in the day, and when I'm at home, or I'm out in the city, or when I'm in the church, and when I'm preaching, even here this morning, that these very words that we preach are God breathed. They're not just words. They're not fiction. They're important. And as she told us last week, that we should get into the Word of God and we should let the Word of God transform us. We can't live without it. And I would say to us today, you know, I would expose and convict us that we can't no longer make excuses. We've got to get into His Word and know Him and know how to live lives that are important, that are literally, as the Spirit of God moves His Word in our lives, we become that God breath to others. You know, that word rebuke, you know, it can hardly be described as the most sought-after thing in the Christian life. How many of us want to be rebuked? You know, how many of us want to even step out and rebuke others? It's like a fear thing we have. But yet, we need it so desperately. You know, pride tells us that, you know, if somebody comes and rebukes me for something that they feel in my life is not honoring of God, you know, I can either listen humbly in humility and see what God wants to say through that, or I can put up a wall of defense and I can take that and do nothing with it. But the Word of God and the Bible are so valuable, because they really do rebuke us, not because God wants to harm us, but God wants to bring life and godliness into us. And so sometimes, You know, we avoid even giving rebuke because, you know, who are we? We think, who am I to, in my weakness, in my sin, to tell somebody else, you know, what their sin is or what their error is? But folks, we've got to get away from that. We've come too far apart. We need to build each other up in our faith, and we need to refine each other, and we need to help each other to become more godlike. We need sometimes to hear rebuke. And that's why in our preaching, sometimes it sounds a lot like that, because really that's what it is. A lot of times it is in that angle to help us see what is right before God. The last word he uses there is exhort. This is the Greek word parakaleo, which is used to mean to call to or to encourage or to bring comfort. It's a word used of the Holy Spirit elsewhere in the New Testament. That's the parakaleo, is his word for coming alongside us and encouraging us and comforting us and strengthening us. And God calls us, and he calls his word to do the very same thing. God wants us to be encouraged. God wants us to be called to doing his will and his work. And he wants to bring comfort when we need comfort. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider how to stimulate or spur one another to love and good deeds. This is one of those words for parakaleo, stimulate, that we would literally stimulate each other to do love for one another and to do good deeds. And that word stimulate means provocation. It means sharply do it. Don't be passive. You know, get the elbows into each other and provoke each other to love and to good deeds. You know, overall in all of this, Paul really is telling Timothy, you know, communicate the gospel, communicate scripture well, and do it continually. Don't let your guard down. You know, communicate good doctrine and theology. Communicate good instruction. Communicate good correction. Communicate good encouragement, but use the word of God in doing so. And we need all of these things working in our lives so that we can become more and more like Christ. I love what Paul in Acts 20, verse 20 said, 27 said. He says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God, the counsel, the will of God. And today, I tell you, and I'm humbled in it, but I want to make sure that I am preaching to you good doctrine, good theology, good instruction, good correction, good encouragement, because I would love to see you stay from error and from false teaching and heresy and from all the other things that are going on in this world, the different things that will try to lead us one way or another away from the truth. May God help myself, and may God help Pastor Tiffany, that we would never in any way let our guard down. Now, I know we don't always get it right. I make mistakes a lot. But God is faithful. And so in your life too, God is faithful. And this is not a word today of discouragement, but of encouragement in the faith, because we have to do this life together and help each other and encourage one another and exhort one another on. So what is a pastor? You know, what does a pastor do? Well, this morning I was shoveling outside the church. I've done washrooms in this church before. That's just the little fringe benefits I get from being a pastor. But in all fun and in all seriousness, Ephesians 1:12 says that pastors are a gift, one of the gifts in the church. It's for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. So literally, a pastor is called to equip the saints, to give you the tools and the word of God, the truth, so that you can do the work of the ministry in your lives, so that the whole body of Christ can be built up. You know, so that we can reach the unity in the faith, so that we can have the knowledge of Jesus, so that we can mature in our faith, so that we will not be tossed to and fro, that we'll not be led astray, that we'll grow up in all aspects of our faith, that we are built up together as we serve one another, and that we do all of this in love for one another. So pastors are called to lead, to guide, to teach, to preach, to be sober-minded, to endure, to be evangelistic, and to keep at it. And I would dare say that that's the trends of every single person in faith, that we all lead lives like that. You know, in the final, or verses 3 and 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul says this, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." It seems like this world has decided that what's good for me is good for me and what's good for you is okay because it's good for you. There are lots of voices out there. There are lots of opinions. There's lots of false teaching. There's lots of things that sound good, but really when you look at the core of what they're saying, they're not. That's why Paul is telling Timothy to make sure the people know the Word of God. And that's why God calls all of us to know His Word, to understand the Bible, to let the Bible be our truth and transform our lives. And be careful. It's okay to listen to things and other people's preaching and teaching and reading books and hearing and seeing things, but make sure you measure it all up against God's Word and who God is and His character. We all like to hear that God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our life. But what about, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments"? What if you want to be my disciple, you've got to pick up your cross and follow me daily? You know, it's the truth, and sometimes we have to face the hard truth that the Christian life is not all roses. Sometimes it's really getting into the grind and fighting our way through. But we've got to know the truth, because the truth is what sets us free and gives us the joy to face hardship and trouble in this world. We are called to a new life in Christ. It's not an easy life all the time, but it's never going to be dull. And we need to continue to dig in and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. I want to challenge us all in these days ahead, the challenge of Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. You see, God will never leave us or forsake us. He will always walk life out with us. He will always help us. But we need to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We need to stand in the truth, and we need to continue to persevere and walk out our salvation. Let's take the gospel seriously. Let's listen to the truth and respond to it. Let's do something with the truth in our lives. Let's be active in our faith. You know, earlier on, as we started out the service, the group led us in a song. And this is, just want to read you the part of the, I believe, the chorus. "Lord, the worship we bring is more than the songs we sing. It's a reflection of our ever-changing lives, the best we have to offer. We don't just lift up our hands, Lord, we lift up our lives. For we know that You are worthy of our praise. To You our life songs raise." Those are powerful words. And those are words for today that, you know, we just don't, it's fantastic to sing to God. I love singing to God. I love praising Him. And oh, that we would all, when we get together again, join in this place to just resound with praise and songs and joy to the Lord. But it's more than that. It's a reflection that our lives are ever changing, that we're constantly growing in our faith. And it's the best we have to offer is that we give God and we yield our lives to Him and allow Him to transform us and renew us in our faith. It's not just about making a show and lifting our hands, although I'm one of those ones that love to lift up their hands in worship and surrender to the Lord. It's not just about that. It's about, is my life being yielded and given to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Because, folks, He is worthy of that type of praise, of everything that's within us. Paul's talking to Timothy, and it's a reflection, these first five verses, of the life of pastoring a church, a people, the bride of Christ. And it's humbling. And I'm the one who one day will stand before God and give an account. And I hope in these days ahead that I too, as I'm being transformed and renewed and maturing and growing in Christ, that more and more you will see a person who's passionate more and more about Jesus and about His Word and about the people He's called me to pastor and shepherd. And hope in your days ahead that you will continue to give your all to your faith, and that you will love God with all your heart, and that you will fear the Lord, because it's the beginning of wisdom. Let's all live our faith out in this life, and let's give it first priority in everything we are and do. Let's pray. Yeah, God, we do thank you today. Again, what a privilege, God, to have technology that allows us to all connect together this morning. And God, to know that even though we're only a few of us in the room here, we know that spread throughout Prince George and beyond, there are people with us today connected because of faith in Christ. So God, help us to stay in the truth. Help us to walk out the truth in our lives. Give us a continual passion for your word, which helps us to know you, God, and to keep us from error in our lives and our faith. And I'm just going to ask you, God, to spoil your church, your bride. God, this week, would you put joy that can only come from the Holy Spirit? Let it drive them. Let it be their passion. Let them get up in the morning with a song on their lips and God a song when they're going to bed at night. Be their strength, God, this week. And God, may their lives reflect their love for you. So God, we thank you and we bless you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus, your wonderful name, that beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Folks, I want you to have a great week. Blessed of the Lord. We're going to end this morning with a video that I'd like you just to just reflect on the words that are being sung. You know, it tells us in Colossians 1, 28, 29, we proclaim Him, admonishing every person and teaching every person with all wisdom, so that we may present every person complete in Christ. For this purpose I also labor, striving according to His power which works mightily within me. You know, that's my personal vision statement for ministry that God gave me when I was wrapping up Bible college days. And I want to just hope that I can continue to live that out in the life of the church in the days ahead. But let me leave you with these three words as we go to the video. And may God bless this week for you. We proclaim Him.